Amen, amen. I'm so excited, man. I'm really, really excited in the Lord, amen, for what he has done for us this day. I would like you to turn your Bibles into the book of Luke, chapter number 1. I'll be very, very brief, and because we have so many things that we want to do, and we want to bring glory to the Lord in this Christmas Sunday morning. The book of Luke, chapter number 1, we are going to read a few verses there from verse number 26, and I'm going to read all the way to verse number 32. If you're in the book of Luke, chapter number 1, verse 26, can you say amen? If you're not there, can you say wait for us, or wait for me? Praise the Lord. I think the word is also, is displayed on our screens. Now the Bible says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Somebody say Jesus with me. Amen. Verse number 32. He will be great, and he will be called the son of the highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, let us read up to there. Praise be to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have laid something very, very unique and special in my heart, Lord, even to share with us today. And I thank you, Father, because it is precious in your sight. I thank you for the reading of the scriptures. This God-breathed scriptures, and they tell us about our eternity, about our present life, and about where we are going. We honor you, Father God, that in this blessedness, that you shall reign over our hearts, and you shall constantly remind us throughout this service the significance of our celebrating the birth, the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, take over my voice right now, even as I speak, and that as we get ready to be edified by the word of the Lord, in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say it, amen. Amen. Last Sunday after the service, after we left, everybody dispersed about their way, and I thought of taking my family, you know, somewhere on a little restaurant that I visited a few months ago, and just a little restaurant, and we wanted to have just a good family time. But and on our way, we found this. If some of you who come through Josie Lane, there is a church that is not very far from here. And they have a very big basket, you know, like a gift basket, very, very big, you know. And on that little red basket, I think it is a plastic basket, it is inscribed, Jesus, the best gift ever. The only best gift that you can ever receive. And when I looked at this, it signified the bag was a representative of our culture. It was a basket, just like a gift basket like this, but it was red in color, you know? But it represented, everybody who saw it would not think about anything else, but would think about maybe getting into Walmart or into a mall and how you buy gifts into our to our loved ones. And it is a very, very special thing for us to know that above every gift that we can ever receive or give, that Jesus Christ is the best gift that you can ever receive. And it really ministered to me in a very, very special way. And it's no wonder that the world has taken this special occasion that we all ought to come and celebrate and turned it around for their own benefit. Throughout Christmas, you know, our day-to-day, Christmas has been so much commercialized. You know, there's the very best deal that you can ever get today, you can find it at this very moment. On your television sets, you can see 80% marked off. You need to buy this gift right now. You need to be engrossed in this kind of a commercial business that goes on through this Christmas. And I strongly feel that somehow the world is missing it, because the real meaning of Christmas has been turned around for the benefit has been misdirected to some area that is not supposed to be going. Praise be to God. And as a church, or as individuals who have known the Lord this morning, it is a special moment for us to come to the house of God and reflect and see what really Christ has meant in our lives. There are many people in the world today that have not had an opportunity or, you know, to surrender their lives unto the Lord. But the fact that they have not surrendered their lives unto the Lord doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't love them. He is still waiting for every single one of them to surrender and to respond to the call that he constantly makes unto them, telling them, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I can give you rest. Praise be to God. The Lord is still in the business of being a gift to somebody, and he is still in the process right now for looking for those who are constantly and entangled into the cares of this life and entangled into the glory of this life. And he is still in the business of looking for them so that he can scoop them out and present himself to them as the ultimate gift that they can ever receive. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I am so excited when I think about, you know, everything about Jesus coming into this universe. It is a paradox when we look into it and when we read about scriptures and when we hear about the birth of our Jesus Christ, or when we see pictures depicting, you know, the scenery, how Jesus was born, we think that it was all well. But I want to put it across to you, my brothers and my sisters, that the birth of our Jesus Christ was resisted even from the very, very beginning. Praise be to God. As you all know, might be aware, it was prophesied in the old of how the Messiah would come. And the teachers of the law of that day, they were very, very keen to go through all the scriptures and determine what exactly and when would Jesus be born? When would he be born? But even as Jesus Christ comes into scene and he is being born, they missed it. They could not even recognize that this was the time and the right moment that Jesus Christ was to be born. In the first instance, when we read the scriptures, we find that the angel comes to Mary, and she speaks with Mary some very gracious words. She tells Mary, you know what, woman? You don't know about what is just about to happen to you, for you are favored among all the women. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is going to come upon you, and you're going to conceive a child. And the name of that child is going to be called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name will be called Jesus. Praise be to God. God with us. And he comes at that moment, and Mary is a virgin. She never knew a man. And the Bible tells us that she was betrothed to a man called Joseph. Praise be to God. And And as she received this message, she is confused. She hadn't heard any occurrence or a situation like this where the Holy Ghost would come over a body over somebody and conceive of a child. And she's communicating with the angel, and she is expressing her worry and concern. How is it going to be now that I do not know a man? How am I going to conceive? But the angel expressed to Mary and told Mary that you do not have to be worried, because the Holy Spirit of God is overwhelmingly going to come over you. And you are going to conceive a child of the Holy Spirit. And that child will be the Savior of Israel. Praise be to God. Now, while all these things are happening, Joseph, the husband betrothed to Mary, is unaware of what is happening. And suddenly he realizes that Mary is pregnant with a child. Now the Bible says that Joseph was a just man. And he secretly wanted to divorce Mary, because in those days where they were living, it would be a sin even for a man to be married to a woman, or for what had happened at that time. It was not right for this just man to be married to this woman who was now pregnant. And the Bible tells us that Joseph was a just man. She had not lain with Mary, praise be to God. And as the process of him now trying to rethink of, okay, this is exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to secretly, because I don't want to embarrass. I thank God for just men. Let me tell you, when you know God, you don't want to embarrass anybody, because God also doesn't want to embarrass anybody. God will never embarrass you, even in your situation. It doesn't matter what you have done in your life. Listen to me, church. It doesn't matter the kind of sins you've been involved in. Our God is so just, and he will never embarrass you. But every moment that the Lord will ever speak to you will be words of encouragement, that I love you, my daughter. I love you, my son. I don't even care what you have done, but I am ready to embrace you the way you are. Praise the Lord. If you're looking forward for the Lord to embarrass you one of these fine days, you will wait a long time, because the Lord will never embarrass you. He will always be speaking to you words of encouragement, words to beckon you towards himself. And this is exactly what this just man did. She secretly planned to divorce Mary. Since this was the first conflict that was happening throughout, as Jesus was being born, this was the first conflict. That the man who was supposed to take care of Mary, even as he nurtured the little young baby Jesus, was just about to disconnect himself from the Savior of this whole world. And I was wondering, I was asking God these questions. Now, Lord, explain to me the significance of Joseph coming in the life of Mary. And he is not the father of Jesus. He is just participating, to bring up the baby. But, when I read the Bible, the genealogy of Jesus is not traced through Mary. Have you ever noticed that? The genealogy of Jesus is traced through to Joseph. There were 14 generations, if you read your Bible, there are 14 generations from David, the King David, to the time when the children of Israel were taken captives to Babylon. There were other 14 generations from the time of captivity it was not restoration. Let's see this. I think it should be in the book of Matthew chapter number 1 verse number 17. Thank you, Lord, you just directed me there. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. Okay, From David until the captivity in Babylon, there were also 14 generations. And from captivity in Babylon until the time of Christ, there were 14 generations. Now, until the time of Christ is traced to Joseph. See the amazing thing. Joseph is not the father to Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, Mary conceived out of the power of the Holy Spirit. But God was telling me, when God looked at Joseph and Mary, behold, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to their own wife, and they'll become one flesh. So when God was looking at Joseph, he looked at Mary and Joseph as one person. Praise be to God. So God is not that one is going to let you or misuse you or use you in any other way where you're not supposed to be. Joseph was as significant as a father to Jesus. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And I was really challenged while he was trying to divorce Mary. The angel of the Lord came unto Joseph. Don't you thank God for this? Conflict. Every time there was a conflict, he is almost abandoning Jesus. He's almost abandoning Mary, who was highly favored among all women. But the angel of the Lord, pastor, comes and encourages Joseph and tells her, do not leave Mary, for what is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Praise be to God. Do not leave her. She is your wife. She has never met a man, but something wonderful is happening within her. I need you. I need you. You are part of this lineage. It has been linked up to you. You cannot disconnect yourself from this. You are part of this process of Jesus, the Son of God being born. You're part of this process. And Joseph was so troubled and humbly, he submitted to the Lord. Praise be to God. And took care. Of his wife Mary. The first conflict, he wants to desert. Now notice, the teachers of the law of that day did not recognize Jesus being born, coming into earth. And a time comes when Mary is pregnant already with a baby, and something happens that they had to go to Bethlehem of Judea. And a time had come for her to conceive. Let me tell you, when time has come for a woman to conceive, there is nothing that you can do as a man. You got to cooperate with the situation. You got to either call 911 or take her to maternity so that she is ready to give birth. Hello, women in the house. I'll tell you, when I had my first born child, and I thought my wife was ready to give birth to Ron. And I took her to the hospital, and we were waiting and waiting and waiting. This child will never come. Ultimately, the doctors told her, you go home. You have come too early. And then I was really worried. Suppose the baby starts coming, and I don't know how to handle it, and I don't know who to call. In those days, I don't think even we had cell phones back in our country. And again, my wife said, I think it's time, and went to the hospital. And she was just laying there and having fun and smiling. I said, where is the baby? I need the baby to come. But let me tell you, when that time came, when the time came for that son to be born, no one would resist that baby to be born. It was time. When a baby is time to come out of into this world, it is time, and nothing ever defies any order. It is time to come out, and you have to prepare the woman and really get ready for everything. And a time came when Jesus was in Bethlehem. They were looking, knocking down on every room in a hotel, trying to find a room, because Joseph was really a caring, a just man who cared for his wife. And I know every one of us here. I've never seen a man here who is married who doesn't take care of their wife. When it is time to give birth, it's a special moment. You want to be there, right? I was there to my last born, and the doctor was telling me to cut the cord, and I told him, no, I can't do that. But let me tell you, when you witness it, man, it changes you. You respect your wife. When you see what she goes through, man, it's not easy. I'm really warning some of those young men who are really planning to get married, please, you really need to take care of your wives. It is a very, very agonizing moment. You feel, Lord, can this earth just envelop me so I don't see what is happening right now? as your wife goes through that agonizing moment of bringing a child into this earth. And so they were knocking into every inn. And let me tell you, there was no room. And the Lord told me, you know what? The earth was not ready for Jesus even at the very moment. And they turned him away, that even in the inn there wasn't even room enough for her to lay on that comfortable bed and get ready to bring forth this wonderful baby. The only emergency room that they found was in a place called a manger. You know, on a place where animals started to, you know, was animals were feeding from, a trough. Some of you that have come from a countryside, you know how some of those, how those troughs look like? It is not interesting, you know, especially if you cut, you know, grass and everything. The food of animals is not like our food. You know, you expect that Jesus maybe found some chicken nuggets there, you know, and maybe he would feed on chicken nuggets. No. It was grass and rough material. They didn't have even time even to prepare to lay that place for her. And finally, the Bible says that Jesus is born in this manger outside. World was not ready for him. And as soon had Jesus been born, and I can only imagine what is going through Joseph at this time. What are we going to do? Where am I going to get enough room? Where am I going to get some clothing? Bible says that he was wrapped in a warm clothing though. And immediately, now listen to me. The world is always never ready for Jesus. My message to you is we are highly favored of the Lord. For the Lord to have been revealed to us, it is the greatest, incredible, if there's a word like that, the greatest miracle that can ever happen to a human being, for the Lord to be revealed into our lives. And immediately, look at this, the naturally created phenomenon recognized at the same time that the Messiah, the King of the Jews, had been born from the east. It was not actually within Bethlehem, neither was it within any city near Bethlehem, but a star. All suddenly, the wise men, the astrologists who studied the stars, realized suddenly there appeared a star that we have not been seeing. And I believe that the divine nature, that God Almighty began to speak to this wise man, and they told him that star represents a change in the phenomena, in the way things are going to happen in this universe. And he told the wise man, this star represents the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is right now being born in Bethlehem of Judea. And I want you to follow this star. And not only do I want you to follow this star, but I want you to carry with yourself some gifts and go take to that child in that little manger. And as they were going, the natural phenomenon is able to react to the God Almighty. Praise be to Jesus. Let me tell you, Jesus said, if you do not praise me, I can cause these rocks, oh God, to praise me and to worship me. If you do not worship me, I can cause the natural phenomena to praise me. The birds of the air wake up at 5 in the morning and they go, chiri-chala, chulo-chala. I believe they are praising their maker. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Glory be to Jesus. The sparrows and everything. The trees wake up and they swing and they praise and they praise God Almighty. How wonderful it is. Glory be to Jesus. The natural created phenomena reacts to the coming of the Messiah in form of a star. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me, church? And they are told, follow that star. And immediately the king of the day where Jesus was being born was King Herod. And he said he was threatened. He heard that a king of the Jews has been born in Bethlehem of Judea. As a matter of fact, before I explain that, you remember the greatest tsunami that ever happened? I think the latest tsunami that killed so many people, 100,000, was that in Indonesia? Do you know, we were chatting with my wife and she was telling me that the animals that lived around that day knew that there was a tsunami. They knew. God instinctively speak to natural things and the animals and the things that you do not even know. They instinctively were running away at that particular moment.
And the human beings were wondering, why is this dog running towards the opposite direction? Why is every animal running towards the opposite direction? God is able to speak to the natural created phenomena. And he wants to use us. If God can speak to natural created things around us, how much more do we need to respond when God speaks to us? Don't you think it is the plan of the devil to come and engross us in just this now life that we live? We are so much engrossed in this, and we live like we are going to live this forever. We want to buy. It is good, brothers and my sisters, to enjoy this life. But it will be the greatest tragedy for us to think that all that is around us is what matters. There is more that matters than this natural life. It is good to drive the best car. It's good to live in the best home. It's good to have the best job ever. But those things are just like this. It is just a breath away, and they will be gone. God wants us to respond to eternal things that will bring value to us, and that is loving the Lord God with the whole of our hearts and the whole of our minds and the whole of our total being, and loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. Are you listening to me? Glory be to Jesus. And so King Herod, he learns that baby Jesus has been born. And he recognizes somehow that there are some wise men, astrologers, who are following a star. And they told him, okay, when you get there, please let me know, because I also want to come and worship the king. But he had an evil motive. He wanted to come and kill baby Jesus. And immediately, as they come, the wise men came and showered Jesus with Frankenstein and gold and myrrh. And they worshipped that little baby Jesus. And as they were almost gone, the Spirit of God, or the Lord himself, spoke to the wise men and told him, do not report back to Herod. You know, and they went their way. And immediately, as they went away, Herod made a decree that every child, 2 years and below, to be killed. That's what the Bible says. Can you imagine? Every male during Jesus' time was killed, 2 years and below. There was no other young man in his city except Jesus himself. And the Lord spoke to Joseph and told him, Herod has determined to come and kill the child. I want you to take this young little baby and the little mother, and her mother, and the little baby, and move them to Egypt. Do you know how far it was? It was almost 200 kilometers. I don't know how you would, if the Lord came and spoke to you when your wife just gave birth, and you're supposed to move her about 200 miles with a donkey. How would you like that? Sam, you'd really question the Lord. If the Lord asked you to take fine for 200 kilometers on a donkey with the little Sam, who was just, you're very inconsiderate. These are some of the conflict things that happened during Jesus' time. And this happened so that the Savior would be born for us. Glory be to Jesus. And you are supposed to stay in Egypt until King Herod dies. Now a time comes when Jesus is brought back, when King Herod died. And I want you to know, Jesus never had any company. I mean, you know, like when we grow, you know, you want to play with your age mates. His age mates were just 3 years old or younger. He didn't have anybody to play around. He lived a secluded. I believe that Jesus had to go seeking, you know. I think they were all girls. His age mates were girls. Because all the boys had already been killed. And all the boys in his time were older than Jesus. And so he didn't know how to relate with them. Living a secluded life. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you, church, is that we might think when we celebrate about Christmas, there's so much that happened. But all this happened so that Jesus will be revealed to us. And the Bible says that the kingdom, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and it's only those who are violent that will take it by force. Even as we speak right now, the devil speaks and tries to withdraw you from the Lord, and he tries to withdraw you from the goodness, tries to withdraw you from service, tries to withdraw you from reading the word, tries to withdraw you from prayer, tries to withdraw us from the very vital things that he knows would lead us to the kingdom of heaven. But I thank God, because in spite of all that happened at that particular day, Jesus Christ was still born. And he still succeeded. And he went to the cross. Praise be to God. There'll be a lot of skepticisms right now, from scientists and people who are well learned to say, I cannot believe that a child would be conceived of a woman without a man's involvement. There are other people who actually even today are so skeptical that Jesus arose from the dead. But you know, let me tell you, there is a certain reality that dwells within our domain as human beings. But there's also another reality that exists in the divine nature that is beyond our comprehension. And the fact that it exists and we may not really be aware, doesn't put us in a point whereby we ought to dismiss that reality, because it is still there. God is real. Amen? And the things that he can do are marvelous things. Some things that he can do may not really make sense. Praise be to God. Even the fact that you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him. Some of you cannot even believe that you are born again today. Some of you cannot even believe, why is so and so born again the way they are? But it is beyond our comprehension. Praise be to God. So, if Jesus has been revealed into your heart this morning, this is the words that I will speak to you. As the angel came to the shepherds and he told you, I bring good tidings to you, for the Messiah has been born, even in this earth, the Messiah that takes away the sins of humanity. Mary may have carried the baby for 9 months in her womb physically, but I thank God because the Savior dwells in your life constantly. Praise be to God. And that is a cause of joy. And I want to pray for us to be merciful and to pray for those who are yet to receive him, because the Lord still loves them. He still looks forward for them to receive him and be a gift to them. Praise be to God. It is Christmas, church. And you're going to enjoy Christmas today. But let us know that something beyond what we may even think has already taken place in our hearts. Hallelujah. Christ has been born and he lives in our lives. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Can you praise God, somebody? Glory be to God. Amen. We thank God. That is the message that the Lord's put in my heart today. I'm going to welcome Sister Junie. And she's going to, we have. She's going to tell us where we're going to go from here.